Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Each year, there are many dollars that go to college students. The key is getting them and knowing where to look and when to hop on the trail. Those in the education field know this month is a golden time to start searching and applying for scholarships for next fall. Coming up, we'll dive into the application process as well as share some tips on how to make those scholarship essays shine. We'll be ready for your questions too. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The U.S. Departments of Justice and the Interior announced last week a $492 million settlement. It ends decades-long disputes between tribes and the federal government over land management. As Emily Schwing reports, the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Reservation are among recipients.
The Umatilla Reservation is home to the Cayuse, Umatilla, and Walla Walla people. Spokesman Chuck Sams says they'll receive $20 million as part of the settlement, but he calls it bittersweet.
My grandfather, who is a tribal member who passed back in 1998, would have probably benefited from some of these lease agreements of the collective of the tribe years ago.
On some of the tribe's land, the government issued leases and permits to non-tribal members for things like farming and grazing, oil and natural gas development, and logging.
Because of this potential mismanagement that had been conducted by the United States government, he never saw the benefits of those funds.
As far back as the 1800s, the U.S. government agreed to just compensation to use land and resources otherwise owned by tribes. For decades, tribes have argued over lack of payment and mismanagement. Sam says legally the case is settled, but social anxiety caused by decades of mistrust remains.
What we really are looking forward to is the stability of the federal government in its agencies and departments, and ensuring that the settlement sends a clear message to them that they are obligated to uphold that trust responsibility.
Sam says 75% of settlement money will be allocated among tribal members, and the remaining quarter will be used for economic and social development on the reservation. For National Native News, I'm Emily Schwing reporting.
The Veterans Affairs Black Hills Healthcare System in South Dakota has announced that services to veterans in some areas will stop by the end of the month. Jim Kent spoke to the VA's administrator as well as a Lakota veterans representative on the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation and has this report.
It's a 290-mile round trip from Eagle Butte to the Black Hills VA healthcare facility in Sturgis. But it's a journey some Native American veterans may have to take once healthcare services supported by the Veterans Administration on the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation and nearby areas come to an end in October. C.B. Alexander is Associate Operations Director for the VA Black Hills Healthcare System.
VA Black Hills Healthcare System had decided not to exercise any option years and received no bids for a community-based outpatient clinics in northwestern South Dakota.
Alexander notes that veterans in the affected areas can obtain care locally through the Veterans Choice Program. That program pays for approved health care services to any veteran who needs to travel more than 40 miles to a VA health care facility. But Cheyenne River Sioux Veterans Services Officer Robert Dunsmore isn't happy.
Nobody bid on these contracts, so we're asking questions why they didn't bid on it. Veterans Choice, that don't work anyway. There's no close providers.
As a result, Dunsmore has sent veterans as far as Omaha and Minneapolis for health care. Nor do Lakota veterans see Indian Health Services as an option, since they've already received poor service there. Dunsmore adds that there are also issues with veterans being billed for services that should have been paid through the Veterans Choice Program. Cheyenne River Sioux tribal leaders are calling for a meeting with the VA Black Hills Healthcare System's director to address their concerns. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
Vigils for missing and murdered Aboriginal women and girls are being held across Canada. Events include walks, moments of silence, drumming, and speeches to honor their lives. On October 4th annually, the Native Women's Association of Canada hosts the Sisters in Spirit Vigils. Advocates and Native leaders hope the gatherings raise awareness and provide support to families who have lost a loved one. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by the University of Tulsa College of Law's online Indian Law Master's Degree Program to help you work effectively in Indian Country. Spring application deadline is December 1st. More information at 844-573-3934. Support by the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department, providing complete convention and visitor planning services to Native American conventions in Albuquerque. Information on convention and tourism services at siabq.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. If you or your child are thinking about college next year, most likely you're also thinking about how are you going to pay for it. The start of classes may be nearly a year away, so why not start lining up your college financial plans? And the experts say the sooner you get going, the more money is available to you. And there are dozens of scholarships geared towards Native American and Alaska Native students. Spending a couple of hours filling out an application and writing an essay may bring in thousands of dollars to put towards paying for books, boarding, and classes. And parents and students who've gone down this path know scholarships keep from having to pay back a big student loan. So today, what questions do you have about the scholarships and the application process? We welcome your call, and we want you to join our conversation. The number is 1-800-99-NATIVE. We have representatives from the American Indian Graduate Center, College Horizons, and the American Indian College Fund on the line and with us here in studio to answer all the questions you have. And they also have some good advice for parents and students on the financial side of higher education. Again, the number to join us is also 1-800-996-2848. And let's go ahead and meet the folks we have here in Studio 49 today. We have Carmen Lopez. She is the Executive Director of College Horizons and Graduate Horizons. And she is Navajo. Carmen, thank you and welcome back to Native America Calling.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
And feel free to further introduce yourself.
Okay. Well, Yat'e She'e Carmen Lopez, Yanishya, Tuduchini Ninshla, Ado Bilagana Dasha Bashishchin, Glizalana Dachiche, Ado Bilagana Dachinale.
All right. Thank you for being with us and thank you for sharing that. We also have here Joan Currier. She's the Interim Executive Director of the American Indian Graduate Center. It's our pleasure to also welcome Joan to the hour. Joan, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me and good morning, Tara.
Yes, indeed. It is a good day. And, you know, thinking about scholarships in the middle of fall or as some people are just kind of wrapping their head around the new semester might seem like a shock to some folks. But this year is a special year that really makes us hop into this conversation early. And so, Carmen, let's talk a little bit about why even focus in on preparing for next year's school year when it comes to higher education. Tell us why this year's special.
This year is special because of the FAFSA's application has launched as of Saturday on October 1st. So the FAFSA is generally, in previous years, would be available February 1st, and you would apply in the spring once your parents' taxes were done. This year, it's called Prior Year, and the FAFSA is available for high school students or for current college students that are going to reapply for financial aid in their spring or next fall semester. So this is a wonderful opportunity for students and parents to get 3 months ahead of time in terms of getting their financial and tax information, and they get to use their 2015 taxes, which has already been completed. So it's a head start, and it just helps students have more understanding of colleges that they could apply to based upon aid that might be available to them if they complete the FAFSA.
And when we say FAFSA, what do we mean?
The Free Application for Federal Student Aid. So this is what is going to let parents and students understand what type of state or federal aid they may qualify for. In addition, other private scholarships sometimes use a FAFSA requirement to determine their eligibility for Pell eligibility. So it's used by the federal government, by colleges, by the states in terms of giving aid, and then some scholarship providers use that information too.
All right. So there you go, folks. If you have any questions on that, give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Joan, is there anything you'd like to add about this year and taking a look at planning for college early?
Well, I think that our experience is that after the first of the year, time for seniors in particular moves very quickly. For those students who are looking at multiple schools and trying to determine whether or not they want to attend a local school, a tribal college, a state university, or go out of state, the financial aid is going to be really critical to help them make that decision. As Carmen said, the fact that they can now process their FAFSA or fill out the report and get their student aid report, which will really help to determine what scholarships and campus-based loans they might be eligible for, will be critical in making that decision. Also, for all of our students who are looking at schools where early acceptance is an option to get to apply and be accepted early into a school, and a lot of the elite colleges and more competitive colleges offer that option, they need to be moving now in order to comply with the timelines of those schools.
So this very well could change the game or the opportunity that folks have to reach out for maybe that school of their dreams. Folks, anything you want to share, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Carmen, can you tell us a little bit as to why might this early time or students getting ready now, specifically in our Native nations, why it's important?
So for students, underrepresented students, and then first-generation students and our Native American students, in this early fall time, applying early, and some students will decide on early action or early decision if they have honed in on the right type of school. The earlier you can get information into the colleges, the better chances you may have in terms of admissions versus the regular deadlines in January. So for students to both be applying for colleges right now and then applying for their financial aid right now allows them to understand their college choices and to decide on colleges that they thought would not be affordable for them because they didn't think that they would qualify for aid. Now you might be able to make college decisions based upon aid that's available to you. So particularly parents. Parents are scared to death of the cost of higher education. It can range from $10,000 a year all the way up to $60,000 for one academic year. So for parents that are scared to death about this and might feel like son, daughter, that school is way too expensive, don't even bother applying. We don't want that message for any student out there. That's the purpose of applying for financial aid. Don't let the cost of higher education scare you away from it. But what do you have to do, though, to make that a reality? It's a plan. You've got to complete that FAFSA. And for parents, you've got to have your taxes up to date. So hopefully all of our parents have the 2015 taxes completed and they're going to be prepping for 2016 in a couple of months. But it gives you more opportunities and options in looking at what pathways you might want to take because financial aid is typically the number one barrier for Native students going off to college. So let's remove that barrier by taking the step in completing the FAFSA.
And so does any of this come as good news to you? Call in, share. We want to hear from you, 1-800-996-2848. And Carmen, how prepared are folks for this? Is this program alerting them to something that maybe they're not aware of? Or has there been a huge campaign that October 1st, and I'm not in college right now, so I have no idea what the word is on campus. How close are people to this and knowing?
You know, it's The U.S. Department of Education has been doing a big launch and campaign getting ready for this since last year. So this has been in the works by the White House and President Obama's administration and making higher education more affordable. So this is one of those plans that's coming out with it. There's been lots of work by different organizations. College Horizons participated on the National College Access Network's feedback on FAFSA and what could be better for Native students in this process. So there's a lot of energy and effort into it, and there's campaigns that are out that we're pushing on our website and on our Facebook page called Form Your Future, because we just want students to understand that college can be affordable and that there's billions of dollars. We have $2.7 billion in federal student aid that goes unclaimed, $2.7 billion that's sitting there for students like ours to access. And so students have an 85% chance of getting some form of federal aid if they apply using the FAFSA. So that's the positive message that we need students and parents to know, that there is aid out there and they have an 85% chance of getting that aid.
All right. Thank you for that. And folks, we will archive this program. If you're hearing it right now and you know there's somebody who needs this kind of information, you'll be able to find it on our website, nativeamericacalling.com. And if you didn't know, we also podcast on iTunes, and you can also find the program on SoundCloud. Just type in Native America Calling on both of those spots. You can download it and maybe sneak it in your kid's iPod, and this conversation will just pop up. But folks, any questions you have, too, we want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Ladies, let's go ahead and talk about some more of those opportunities. Joan, I want to turn to you about the different kinds of scholarships that exist, especially for our Native students. What are you excited to talk about?
I'm very excited to note that AIGC, the American Indian Graduate Center, is currently offering undergraduate scholarships in addition to the Gates Millennium Scholarship Program, for which we have been known for the past 16 years. About a year and a half ago, we received a significant investment from Wells Fargo Bank, and that has enabled us to put together a Wells Fargo scholarship for American Indian and Alaska Native students. We're able to fund students who are incoming freshmen as well as continuing freshmen up through completion of their bachelor degree. Our application opens on January 1st, and criteria are just that students are a descendant or a member of a federally or state-recognized tribe, that they're attending school full-time. We will fund any accredited college and university. We will fund any program, any field of study. And currently, this year was the first year that we selected our cohort of 120 students. And we're excited to be able to do that moving forward. AIGC also has a number of scholarships that are funded by smaller programs. So we, again, encourage people to get online, take a look at the opportunities that we have. Some of them are for specific fields of study. We have several scholarships that fund certificate and vocational programs, one for veterinary technicians and one in construction and construction management. In addition to that, on our website, as I'm sure on College Horizons' website and the College Fund's website, there are a number of generic scholarship opportunities that host hundreds and thousands of scholarship programs. A couple that I'd mention are www.scholarshipjunkies.com. We love that one. We also love www.collegegreenlight.com, and you can find a complete list on our website.
And give that website out.
Our website, I'm sorry, our marketing person is going to kill me. Our website, www.aigcs.org.
All right, thanks for
that.
Thank you. And we'll make sure that's up on our website, too, if folks are still searching for that. And Carmen, what about you? What would you like to share?
You know, I think what's really important in, again, I'm going to speak to the parents around this, is that sometimes we think that we have to be super poor in order to qualify for aid, and that's not the case. And so sometimes folks are reluctant to say, well, does $60,000 in income, does $70,000 and $80,000, $90,000? What if I have parents that are combined income of about $100,000? Guess what? You could potentially still qualify for aid. And at some of the colleges that have substantial financial aid, merit-based or need-based aid programs, they can offer sometimes aid for parents and families who have combined incomes of $125,000. So I just want parents to know that you need to apply through the FAFSA to determine what your expected family contribution is. You'll get this little EFC number that will be zero for some families, $1,200 for some families, $15,000, $30,000. And that is what helps us to understand what are we potentially going to have to pay for college. I think it's also important to know when we're talking about federal aid, what does that mean? It can be grants that you're eligible for, work study that you're eligible for, and different types of loans that you might be eligible for in terms of that type of financial aid from the federal government that you could receive. Not even talking about our own tribal scholarships that are also additional sources of aid. That's a separate application process.
All right. Thanks for that. We're going to take a call, and we want to hear your voice on these airwaves too. 1-800-99-NATIVE is the number. Let's say hello to Mike in Austin, Texas, listening online. Mike, thank you for giving us a ring, and what would you like to share?
Oh, hi. I just wanted to thank the good people at AIGC. You know, far often, you know, you need to recognize certain people and certain people that do certain work within not just the indigenous community, but just want to give a special thanks to them. Your work doesn't go unnoticed. And the amount of impact in Indian country is just phenomenal. I see AIGC growing and growing just to phenomenal places. So I just wanted to give a special thank you.
All right. Thank you for
organizations
that.
Like that.
Thanks, Mike. And Joan, any thoughts?
Happy to be recognized and appreciated. We do try to be out in the communities. We have a very personal relationship with those families with whom we work, with students in financial aid and scholarships. And it's the mission of AIGC to be able to continue that and to really support the undergraduate cohorts through college far above and beyond the Gates Millennium Scholarship Program. AIGC has been providing graduate fellowships and scholarships for close to 50 years now. You know, and I think we are well known for that, but we want people to know that we have every intention of continuing to be a player and to be of service in the undergraduate arena. So thanks, Mike.
Mike, thanks for your call there in Austin, Texas. Where are you today? And what do you want to share? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Ladies, we're going to go to Denver, Colorado now to say hello to Davida Del Mar. She's a college admissions coach from the American College Fund working with the new Native Pathways to College program. She is Navajo, and it's our pleasure to bring her into the hour. Davida, thank you for being with us as well, and I understand you'd like to introduce yourself further.
Sure. Hello, everyone. Bipatoi Nisle, Do Kifachinye Basisching, Kiaani Dasache, Do Torichinye Dasanoa.
And thanks for being with us, Davida. And we're at a point where we're sharing great resources. Anything you want to tell us about Native Pathways to College and what does it mean?
Sure. So the Native Pathways to College program is a new initiative from the American Indian College Fund. We're actually funded by the Mellon Foundation. And our whole goal is to create a college-going environment with the high schools we target, as well as there's another aspect where we help students who attend two-year TCUs, which is tribal college universities, help them transfer to four-year institutions. So we're targeting students and helping them through this process, as well as developing relationships with these students, and of course, connecting them to the scholarships we also offer.
And so what is it with this program that you're really excited about offering to students, especially from our tribal nations?
Sure. Well, I think a lot of students may be tackling this process on their own. And with some students, they may be first generation, as well as not really knowing the work resources that may be available to them. What we emphasize is for students to ask questions. There's a lot of resources that they can tap into, whether that be their counselors, teachers, coaches, as well as maybe their tribal representatives as well. It's kind of interesting when students just ask questions, they can find scholarships opportunities, funding opportunities, as well as they can find out what these professionals can provide in terms of their career goals and future plans. And so what we emphasize is basically for students to network themselves, build their resumes, be informative in this college-going process. And what's great about our program, too, is we actually offer some funding towards college visits, which we feel is an important aspect of applying to colleges as well.
And so where do folks go to get information on that?
Sure. Well, they can visit our website, which is collegefund.org/native pathways. That's specific to the Native Pathways to College program. But, of course, the American Indian College Fund has many other programs that we also offer and provide for our students and scholars and the students who are awarded our scholarships as well.
And so we have about a minute before break. Maybe throw out some of the names as they're on your website. What is it exactly they're looking for?
Sure. Well, if you go on collegefund.org, you can donate to our to the foundation. We actually offer scholarships from corporations, foundations, individuals. We offer two types of scholarships, which is the TCU scholarship, which are only offered to students who go to TCUs, as well as the Full Circle scholarship, which is offered to students enrolled in tribal colleges and non-tribal colleges. And just like AIGCF, this can be range from a number of different aspects and interests, as well as they can range from $500 a semester to $18,000 a year. Another aspect is that we do a lot of research. So, for instance, the Office of Research and Sponsor Programs here at the Fund does topics from early childhood education to Native arts and culture. And, of course, we want to see our students succeed. So our Student Success Services Department is committed to assisting our scholars in networking opportunities and additional resources like internships.
So there's definitely a lot to take in, and I think just hearing from all of the folks on the line today, it's exciting to hear how much opportunity is available. And folks, are you being turned on to something that maybe you never considered for your student? Maybe generally folks in your family have gotten a tribal scholarship. What about reaching out for more financial aid? Give us a ring. How do you stand on that? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We're going to pause for a moment here, but we will keep these phone lines open. We want to hear from you. And the number to dial in is 1-800-99-NATIVE. That's also 1-800-996-2848. And you can also send us a tweet. Our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. We look forward to hearing from you today. The tourism industry pushes billions of dollars into the United States economy every year. And one Native tourism organization is working on attracting more European tourists to our Native nations. So what are the benefits and pitfalls of encouraging more tourists to visit our communities? Tell us on the next Native America Calling.
Way, way, oh, hey, way, way, oh. As an American Indian or Alaska Native, there is one simple thing you can do to help your elders, help young people seeking an education, and help develop Native businesses. Exercise your right to vote for the candidates of your choice on November 8th. Your vote on Election Day makes a difference in Washington, D.C. and at home. Vote for our people, our land, and our future. Know your rights and go to NativeAmericaCalling.com for more information. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kawanak Broadcast Corporation. The 2016 AFN Convention is around the corner, October 20th through the 22nd in Fairbanks, Alaska. This year's theme is 50 Years, Reflect, Refresh, Renew, celebrating successes of the past and looking to the future with strength and unity. The convention and Kwiana cultural performances are on GCI, ARCS, and 360 North, and online at nativefederation.org. The AFN Convention 2016 app is available at your favorite app store.
Buju, Medicare Part D is your prescription for a healthy life. For anyone with Medicare, Part D provides access to affordable prescription drugs. Sign up or switch your Part D plan during open enrollment from October 15 to December 7. For more information, visit www.medicare.gov. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Miigwech.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and there are tons of scholarships specifically for Native American and Alaska Native students. The Native American Journalists Association, the American Political Leadership Program, and the Society for American Archaeology, and the Cobell Education Scholarship Fund all have money for our Native students. And many other organizations are already at it too, taking applications. And if you're a student, are you ready to start applying for scholarships? Do you know which ones to go after? And how do you know which scholarships are worth your time? And if you're a parent, how are you helping your child keep track of all of these scholarships, their requirements, and of course, their deadlines? And do you feel overwhelmed? Do you have any questions? While we have a lineup of guests today on the program to help anyone navigate through all of this and the money side of college life, all you have to do to join our discussion is pick up the phone and dial 1-800-996-2848. And 1-800-99-NATIVE is another way to remember it. With us today from Denver, Colorado is Davida Del Mar. She's a college admissions coach from the American Indian College Fund, working with the new Native Pathways College Pathways to College program. Also with us here in Studio 49, we have Joan Currier. She is the Interim Executive Director of the American Indian Graduate Center. And also here in Studio 49 is Carmen Lopez. She's the Executive Director of College Horizons and Graduate Horizons. And she comes to us from the Navajo Nation. Ladies, it is a pleasure to have all of you here on the line. And Carmen, I wanted to just pick up on something that I threw out there before the break of a lot of times our students have tribal scholarships and maybe they don't apply for some of this extra funding. What do you think when you hear that kind of situation?
Yeah, students need to be applying for all sorts of scholarships and all types of aid. So you might potentially qualify for federal aid, and then you can go to your tribes for funding, and then you have the external scholarship providers like AIGC, Catching the Dream, the American Indian College Fund. And then there's the other scholarships that we often tell our students at College Horizons to apply for, that whether it's through the Walmart Foundation, Coca-Cola, Google, because sometimes we just only are thinking, let me search for only Native American specific. No, you need to be searching for other things about maybe you're a female student who's interested in biology, or maybe you come from a certain county, or maybe you have a certain other qualities to you that there are these other scholarships that you would match for. So that's why it's important, as Joan had said, is to go on to different search engines, submit your profile of all of these things about who you are and who your interests are, and then you can match up with different scholarship providers. So, you know, if you limit yourself to only applying for one type of aid, you're limited. That's why you have to throw out a broader net in terms of your applications for aid. So it's painful when students are only applying to the tribe only and then hadn't completed the FAFSA application. Or some of the colleges have their own internal applications for financial aid. For certain schools, students that might be applying to some of the selective institutions, they require an additional application on top of the FAFSA. It's the CSS profile, and that's hosted on the College Board's website. So students that are applying to certain colleges may also have to fill out this additional form. So that's why it's important, though, to set your sights high and then be organized. If there's any other points that I would make is that deadlines are so, so important. And scholarships have to have the cutoff. They have to have that cutoff to close it out. So students need to get organized this fall with their calendars on, and they should be applying this fall. So a lot of times students also make the mistake of waiting to apply for scholarships once they have been admitted to their college next spring. No, start applying for scholarships. The deadlines are right now for high school seniors in particular. So you've got to be doing both your college applications and your financial aid applications right at the same time. And the last thing I'll say about federal aid in terms of their deadlines. So right now with the prior year, October 1, FAFSA is live right now. Start applying. Students have to get their FSA ID first. That's the first step. The student and the parent have to get that. It takes 3 days, maybe up to 5 days, for you to get approval of that ID. So there's a little lag there. So if anything, today, if you haven't gotten your FSA ID, that's step number one. But what you're going to see online is that each state has different deadlines for giving the award. Federal aid is a first come, first serve. So if you are applying early while the pot is still big, you could be awarded that aid. If you come in March, April, May, June, that pie is less and less because that money has been given out to other students that applied ahead of you. So that's something important to know. Federal aid is a first come, first serve. So that's why it's also really advantageous for first-gen students, underrepresented students, our native students, to be applying for aid this fall.
So were there people, do you think, that at midnight, Saturday, that they were there filling it out? And there's already numbers of applications that are already in. Are we there, Carmen?
We are there. There are students that are savvy, College Horizons. We push this with our own students as well. So this is what all of us should be doing right now. Get that FSA ID, start filling out the FAFSA form, because you've got your 2015 taxes. So just start getting in there and plugging away.
All right, let's go to the phone lines again. If you want to join us, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's say hello to Evangeline in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening to the program today. Evangeline, thank you for giving us a ring, and I understand you have a question.
Yes, I have a question. I'm actually finishing up my undergraduate degree. I did the FAFSA thing and got my tribal scholarship, but I'm in the process right now for graduate school, and I was wanting to know what resources I can look for funds for graduate school.
All right, great question. Joan, do you have anything to add?
Well, American Indian Graduate Center, I believe it's the largest source of funding for graduate students in all fields of study and at all colleges and universities. So again, www.aigcs.org. Our application will open on January 1st this year. We have a number of different options, from grants to loan for service programs that are backed by the federal government, where students are awarded a significant amount of funding with an obligation to go back and either work for the federal government in a tribal capacity or with a nonprofit, which is largely tribal serving. In addition to that, you will see different websites, again, that offer funding for graduate students. I can say that in certain fields of study, and particularly the STEM fields, there are a lot of opportunities, not just for funding, but for programs that will include internships, mentorships with other people in the field. And all those resources are on our website.
All right. Thank you for that, Evangeline. Great question. Let's go ahead and take another call. We're going to hear from Wynette in St. Louis, tuned in online. Wynette, thank you for your call, and you're on air.
Hi. I just wanted to, first of all, thank College Horizons. I attended College Horizons quite some time ago, so I just want to thank you for the great program and the opportunities that you opened up. I actually chose the college that I attended the College Horizons program, and I also want to just provide some tips. I think someone had mentioned that it's really important to be organized when doing scholarships and paying attention to deadlines. So that's really important for those listeners out there who are focusing on scholarships. But it's also important to think about why you need these scholarships. So that was something that was helpful for me when I was applying for scholarships and for graduate programs. So just want to let everyone know that it's great to be organized and also know why you're applying for scholarships besides financial aid, because they really want to hear your story.
Great advice, Wynette. Thank you for your call. And ladies, let's go ahead and get into it. Okay, we've established where you can find these, the importance of them. How do you do it? Some great advice from Wynette. When we talk about filling out scholarships and getting into applications, and then that word, essays. let's turn it to that. And Davita, start us off. Anything you want to share about advice for parents who are helping their kids with the scholarship application process?
Sure. Well, advice to parents is to stay involved in the process. I think it's really important that parents and students understand the process when applying for financial aid. However, parents should take a supportive role in the process by listening to their student. Engaging in discussions about interests and goals can help students discover a better narrative, and that could lead to a better personal statement for these essays and questions they have to answer towards scholarships and college applications. I feel like parents may have a tendency to over-edit these essays and maybe interject their own perspective into what their students' future plans may be. So I feel parents can help with that organization process that we've been talking about and remind students of deadlines while building their confidence and empowering their ability to tackle this project on their own. So for just like the student who is on the phone right now, who's tackling it on her own, they'll be empowered to do that later on as well.
Great advice. Joan, your take.
Well, I think that a lot of the scholarships that we're talking about, the key to success is a good, strong essay, and there may be more than one. Davita offered some really good advice. I would add to that that students might look to their older peers for some help editing. If you have friends who have received the Gates Scholarship or gone to College Horizons successfully applied, they have been through the essay writing process, and they make really good editors if you can engage them. Also, obviously, your high school faculty and counseling are often very open to helping you out. And I think sometimes it's challenging for a student. Particularly the first-gen high school students are intimidated that maybe they're going to bother a teacher if they ask for help. We have done work now. I think all of us have worked in tribal communities in particular, and then also the public school systems, enough to tell you confidently, go ahead and ask. If they're too busy, they will probably tell you. But I think for the most part, you're going to find teachers and counselors are really wide open to helping you. The other thing I would add is that when we go out and do scholarship writing, essay writing, we're finding a couple of things. Number one, a lot of high schools are using that now as curriculum in 10th and 11th grade English courses. I think that the culture of college going has really developed a lot in the last 10 or 15 years. And so you see that schools are being very proactive about engaging their students in the kind of writing exercises that are going to be helpful for scholarships. And what we can say overall, or what I can say from my experience, and I think probably my colleagues here would agree, is that it's really important to speak from your personal experience. It's very important to have someone who helps you organize your essay, and it's very important to take that personal experience and conclude with a lesson learned, a talent, acquired, a failure that you had to overcome. I mean, they're not all happy endings. They're not all terrible tragedies. But I think that many scholarship providers want to see students who are introspective and resilient and who are not afraid to look outside for resources to help them through issues that may be difficult to tackle. Those are all qualities that I think that scholarship providers look at as the same kind of qualities that will make them successful college students.
And what would you like to add to that list? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if we have any teachers who are in the audience who have had a student who turned to them, what was it like to be on that side? And anything you want to add, 1-800-996-2848. And students, if you're writing them right now, there are three women on this line who know their stuff. Ask your questions. 1-800-996-2848. Carmen, your thoughts.
Yeah. Regarding the essay, some of my advice is to, number one, answer the question. A lot of times students will cut and paste from another essay, and you've got to be careful that you're not replicating and not answering the question. So, number one, answer whatever that question on the scholarship is asking for. Make sure that you answer it. Number two, as Joan said, it's a writing, rewriting, editing process. You're not going to get it the right way that you want the first time. So just know that this is all a process. In College Horizons, we're drafting, throwing it away, finding a great three sentences, getting excited about that, and then rebuilding off of that to tell that story. I think that sometimes students think that I want to hear something in particular. So you're writing to answer what I want to hear. No, I want to know about you. I want to know about what problem you want to solve. What is it that you're struggling with? What is it that you look forward to? What is it that excites you? What is it that you've learned in your community? Good, bad, ugly, we talk about at College Horizons. We're not perfect people. Our families aren't perfect. Our communities aren't perfect. We're resilient. And out of that struggle sometimes, especially as we've talked about with first-gen students or underrepresented students, sometimes there's messiness in our life. And it's okay to claim that messiness and to look at it and say that, I did something around this. I'm beautiful because of it, and I'm resilient. Now, let me tell you what I've learned from that.
Very nice. And again, folks, this program will be in our archive, NativeAmericaCalling.com. We got a caller on the line. Let's say hello to Chrissy in Fort Apache, Arizona, connecting today on KNNB. Chrissy, thank you for your call, and you're on air.
Good afternoon. So as a graduate student, I was able to support my family solely on scholarships. And so I guess my biggest tip to people out there is to never give up. Keep applying. If you fail, I guess if you get a denial letter, you know, save it for later and reapply when the deadline comes around again. And, you know, that's really important, just to not give up and always change your personal statement or your essay to update it and make it current, because that's really important. And I don't know, build relationships with people, because people in your program will have other, resources for you to succeed. Sorry.
Chrissy, congratulations. It's great to hear. Chrissy, what are you going to go into, or what are you studying?
Actually, I got my master's in counseling, and right now I'm a school counselor at Theodore Roosevelt School on the Fort Apache Reservation.
Very nice. And ladies, anybody want to hop in there and just give her some words as well?
I would just say congratulations. And this is Carmen from College Horizons. I'm so glad you're a counselor. I'm so glad that you're back in the schools working with your students. This is something else in addition to teachers and principals and language teachers. We need more school counselors, native school counselors, coming back to work with our students. So congratulations on that achievement.
All right. Let's go now to St. Anthony, Idaho, to say hello to Bradley, listening on KISU. Bradley, thank you for your call, and go ahead, jump in there.
Hey, thank you. I just wanted to say I'm a non-typical student. I'm 30, and I'm going to graduate with my bachelor's, like 180 credits, because I switched my major. And being a little bit older, you get kind of a different perspective about going out and getting stuff. Just kind of sharing with the listeners that not just what everybody's been talking about, federal level or whatever organization ethnically you're a part of, but, I mean, even different organizations in the town that you live in, or, you know, maybe your dad's part of some kind of industry, like a craftsman, a carpenter or something, and he's got some kind of society he belongs to, and you might be going into natural resources, you could potentially get that. You just have to go out and ask. And like they're saying, those essays are important. And with that, it's a powerful tool to just kind of keep it short, brief, and sell them on why you would be a success and why their money's going to go somewhere. But try to do it without being, like, too boastful, I guess. And that's just basically my two cents.
All right, Bradley, thank you for that. And Davida, we got a couple of moments before we wrap up the hour, and definitely we want to touch on student loans. When do you get them? What does it mean? And any advice when times call for that?
Sure. Well, I understand that a lot of students that I've met have kind of deferred from the word loan, and it's kind of a scary thing to kind of encounter. But I think as the students change their perspective on it, for sure, I think they'll see the loans as an opportunity, especially filling out the FAFSA and getting the federal student loans, where they offer lower student interest. Being diligent about that process is very important. And I think when it comes to that point where you've kind of missed all the scholarship deadlines and everything, I think it's important to still keep those loans in your pocket as an opportunity, because I think students who get to, you know, their first day of classes and realize they still owe some money, I mean, they might have to dip into that loan opportunity. And that's not a bad thing. I think students can see it as an investment in their future. That's not to say students should rely on that loan. But another aspect, too, is that students should only borrow what they need. So it's probably tempting to be offered a $3,000 loan and to take the full amount, but to only stick to the actual amount that you need for your educational needs. I think that's really important.
All right, great words. And ladies, Carmen or Joan, any thoughts on loans?
At College Horizons, we counsel that loans are a part of your financial aid package. So, but understanding different types of loans is really, really critical. So when we're talking about educational federal loans, subsidized, we rank them for our mm-hmm. students. We say subsidized loans, let's go with that. That's a good one. Perkins loan, that's a good one because of the low interest rates, and then you're not paying interest well in college. Unsubsidized loans becomes the next one where you're going to be accruing interest while you're in college. So that's not as great as the first two options, but that's a good third one. And then the ones you have to be very careful about are any type of personal loans or commercial loans that you just go to the bank to pay for. You could have interest rates up at 18 to 24%. That's outrageous to take out a loan. And parents should not be taking out commercial loans or taking loans against their mortgages as well to finance education. So there are some good loans out there. Start with your educational loans. For parents, there are loan programs through the federal government as well, parent loans. And sometimes certain colleges also offer loans for their parents.
And something that we didn't mention earlier, but had on my mind, scams. We got about a minute before we wrap up. I understand there are lots of ways people fall into scams. Somebody offering to find you all the scholarships. How do you know, any advice on guarding yourself about being scammed when you're actually trying to put your kid through college?
I think the biggest thing is that if you have to pay for a scholarship, it's not a scholarship. Most scholarship providers and certainly any schools that you're attending, I think you have to watch for it at schools as well, should not have fees associated with applying for scholarships. The other thing that scam may not be the right word, but the other thing when we talked, we offer kind of the same guidance and the same hierarchy of financial aid as Carmen referred to in terms of gift aid and then the self-help, which is work study, and then the loans and so forth. But one of the things that we also are very cognizant of are the credit card offers that come to college students. And, you know, students who really don't have any credit and who don't have a history of lending and paying back can all of a sudden get credit cards with $2,000 limits. It's a loan. You have to pay it back. We really caution our students to be very – we actually caution our students not to get credit cards. We think, you know, a lot of them will need debit cards, and that can you know, you have accounts with summer earnings or maybe some of your scholarship funds that pay for incidentals. But we really caution against credit cards.
It's not worth the T-shirt or mug.
It's not worth the T-shirt or the mug.
<That's> right. All right. And Carmen, real brief, one quick don't in all of this, if we give it good advice out.
Don't be scared by the cost of college or higher education. Don't be scared by the ticket. There is aid to support you to get to college. It's a plan, though.
All right. And with that, folks, we are going to close out the hour. A lot of great information shared today. And maybe you just know a great scholarship that is out there. Feel free to post on our Facebook. Just type in nativeamericacalling.com or send it in a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if there's more information you want to throw at us, send us an email to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. Thanks to all of our guests today, Joan Currier, Carmen Lopez, and also Davida Del Mar. And there will be links on the website if you would like to connect with any of the folks you heard on today's program. And we also hope you'll join us tomorrow for a discussion on tourism in our Native nations. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Senior producer is Monica Brain. Associate producer is Andy Murphy. Roman Garcia engineered today's show. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood, and it has been our pleasure to think about our students and hear about what they are involved in. We'll be back again tomorrow. Visit us online, nativeamericacalling.com.
Medicare is your prescription for a healthy life. For anyone with Medicare, Part D provides access to affordable prescription drugs. Sign up or switch your Part D plan during open enrollment from October 15 to December 7. For more information, visit www.medicare.gov. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Support by the very first Indigenous Comic-Con in Albuquerque, New Mexico, November 18th through the 20th, featuring Indigenous creators, illustrators, writers, designers, actors, and producers from the worlds of comic books, games, sci-fi, fantasy, film, TV, and graphic novels. Indigenous Comic-Con seeks to highlight the amazing work and bring understanding about the Indigenous experience to the world of popular culture. Info on Facebook or at indigenouscomiccon.com. Everyone is welcome.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.